We've been talking about dangerous prayers, and we're going to pray another dangerous prayer today. I keep needing to just kind of qualify in the foundation of each message, like what is a dangerous prayer? Because you may be here for the first time, and you're like, what? There's different kinds of prayers. I mean, you know, every prayer I pray, sometimes the prayers we pray are just safe prayers. They're just the daily static prayers, I call them. I pray them all the time. I want you to keep praying them as well. But those are prayers like, Lord, bless me. I pray that often. Lord, heal people and Lord, make me a millionaire. I mean, we pray all these prayers. Help me lose weight, Lord. All of the prayers that we pray, and we need to pray all of those prayers. But there are some prayers you can pray that will push you out of your comfort zone. That's why they're dangerous prayers. They are prayers that will make you a bit uncomfortable, prayers that will challenge you because they are not safe prayers. And we've prayed three of them the last few weeks. We began the series with Search Me, and then we prayed Break Me, and then last Sunday we prayed Send Me. We asked the Lord to search our hearts and to really know and to reveal to us what we need to know and what we need to make right in our lives. And we ask God to break us for what breaks Him, break our hearts for what breaks His heart. And many of us feel that burden and feel the result of that. And then, of course, last week, Send Me. Lord, where do you want me? What do you want me to do? What are you asking me to do? And Lord, I want to bless what you're doing. I want to be a part of what you're doing rather than asking you to bless my plans and my will and my goals. I want you to send me. And so today, I just in the few minutes that I have, we're going to pray another dangerous prayer. I'm praying today for a testimony. Praying for a testimony. You say, all right, now hold on. I've been tracking with you each week, but how is a testimony dangerous? Testimonies are not dangerous. Testimonies are good things, and they are good things. In fact, there are many testimonies in this room. Just a quick show of hands. Has anybody ever been healed by the Lord? Anybody? You felt His healing power. And if you're in need today, just look around because you're going to see people's hands. They're not just raising them because I'm asking for a show of hands. They're not doing it to appease me. They're doing it because God has really done this in their lives. What about God's provision? Has anyone ever felt the provision, the providing hand of the Lord in your life, or just the goodness of the Lord? I want you to know today that every hand that has been raised and every amen that you've heard around you, every one of them have the same thing in common. Our stories may be different. The circumstances or the details may vary from person to person. But every single person that has a testimony today, It started out the same way. What do you mean? Here it is. Every testimony starts with a test. It's literally in the root of the word. Testimony. Every testimony begins with a test. That's why this is a dangerous prayer. Because if you want a testimony, it means that there's going to be a test. If you want God to do something great in your life, it means there's probably going to be a challenge. There's probably going to be a circumstance. There's probably going to be a struggle. Let me prove this to you in the word. Revelation 12, verses 11 and 12. It's on the screen if you want to follow along. The Bible said they triumphed over Him. Who is Him? who is the devil? They triumphed over the devil. They triumphed over this beast. How did they do it? By the blood of the Lamb. That is their relationship, our relationship with Jesus, and by the word of their testimony. You say, wait a minute, all I need is the blood of the Lamb, and I'm good. No, 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 you need a testimony as well, because the testimony is the enduring. It is the not giving up. It is the knowing that God is on my side. That's how they overcame the beast. That's how they overcame the dragon in Revelation 12, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. He goes on to say, they did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. In other words, it didn't matter how great the challenge was. Didn't matter how difficult the circumstance was. It didn't matter how overwhelming the situation was. They did not shrink from the overwhelming in order to save themselves. They said, you know what, the goal, life with Jesus. They loved Jesus more than anything else. They wanted heaven more than they wanted earth. You say, that's probably where you've lost me, because I don't know if I love the Lord more than I love me. I don't know if I want him more than I want to preserve my own life. We can say that when things are relatively calm, but you let World War III break out. You let some challenge, and this is we got picked next Sunday, so we're gonna have nothing but good times today and good vibes. I'm not gonna take you down any dark roads, but I pray that every now and then you recognize, Lord, I've got it really good right now, in spite of my challenges, in spite of my circumstances, in spite of some of the issues that I've got going on in my life. I really do have it better than good, and I'm thankful and I'm grateful, and I've got a praise on my lips. He said, therefore rejoice, verse 12, you heavens and you who dwell in them, but woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury because he knows that his time is short. This is classic imagery from John's revelation. I don't purport that the book of Revelation is simple or easy to understand. It's a man who has been exiled to an island. He is there all by himself. He is seeing things that are very futuristic. He is seeing things that are happening in our day and time, and things that are still to go. He's seeing them 2,000 years ago and has no context for them. I believe when he tries to describe these beasts flying in the air, he's never seen a helicopter before. I believe he's seeing, you know, these attack and war aircraft and things of those of that nature. And so John is using this very classic imagery, the woman and the dragon. He uses in this 12th chapter. The woman represents the church, because we are the bride of Christ. The dragon represents the devil. He is our opposition. He is the challenge that we are facing. He is the accuser. He is the jerk. He is the punk. Just let me know when I describe the devil in your life. Here's what I know. You don't hate the devil enough, because if you really hated him, you would help the Lord stomp on his head and make sure that he is under your feet. The sun in Revelation 12 represents Jesus. And we know that throughout time, the enemy has tried to take him out. He's tried everything, but guess what? Jesus conquered death and hell. He made sure. The problem is, the devil does not think you know that. And there may be somebody in this room that does not know that. You may be hearing that for the first time today. And I want to inform you that Jesus has more power than the devil. In fact, Jesus has all power. If you feel like you're under attack, if you feel like you're overwhelmed, if you feel like you are anxious, if you feel like you are beneath all of the stressors of life, you're in the right place today because His presence is amazing. His Spirit is uplifting. He will encourage you today, and we're going to get around you and encourage you today. But I need you to know the devil is defeated today in Jesus' name. I know he runs around acting tough like he's got a future, but he doesn't have a future. I know he walks about roaring as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, but he doesn't have any teeth. All he's got is a lot of noise and a lot of wind. And I realize he makes a lot of noise in our lives, and we get nervous and we get timid and we get insecure, and we lose our faith confidence, and we start thinking that our circumstance is going to get so big and overwhelm us so greatly and do so much in our lives that we're not going to be able to survive. But I'm talking to survivors in this room today. I'm talking to people that in spite of all of the overwhelming, in spite of all of the health challenges, in spite of the lack of finances, in spite of the family or the relationship issues, you still came to church today. You may have come to church because of all of that, but the fact that you came to church today means you may not have all the answers, but you know where the answer is. You may not have it all figured out, but you know how to get in the presence of the Lord so that it can be figured out. Does anybody have a testimony in this room? So how do they overcome the devil? It's what John is teaching us. It's by the blood of the Lamb. Jesus paid a price that we could not pay. He took care of it for us. And then it was by their testimony. It was people that went through some things, people who suffered some things, people who endured some things, people who overcame some things. I've come to tell you on this holiday weekend that you are going to make it. I've come to tell you that you are going to be victorious. I've come to tell you that you will overcome. But to get the testimony, you will be tested. So here's our challenge. The challenge is that we are looking for the path of least resistance. You know how when you're following the GPS and all of a sudden it tells you to take a detour because there's traffic up ahead, it starts rerouting us. We are constantly looking for the reroute. Lord, I see that slowdown up there. I don't want to go through that slowdown, so I'm willing to go 18 miles out of my way. The slowdown is only 3 minutes, but I'm going to go 27 minutes out of my way just to say I kept moving. I didn't have to slow down. Sometimes the slowdown, ladies and gentlemen, is a part of the plan. Have you ever, maybe this is just me, have you ever been traveling down the road and you got held up by something and you fussed and cussed and just mad at everybody that you got held up, and then when you finally get back to that point, there's some wreck on the side of the road and you think, I wonder if it had been me that came through here just a few moments ago, I wonder if that would have been me on the side of the road in this mess. Sometimes the slowdown is God orchestrated. God designed. Sometimes it is God breathed in our lives, but we look for the path of least resistance. We want the reroute. We want to find out if there is another way. What about a safe path? What about a path with lots of light so I can see behind every boogeyman bush? Make sure there's nobody lying in wait, and make sure there's no trouble around me. That's why this is a dangerous prayer. Lord, I want a testimony. I'm praying to overcome. I'm praying to be victorious. But I know that overcoming And victory, it comes with a price. Are we willing to pay the price? I wish naming and claim it was a real thing. I wish it were true, but if it were true, I'd just make it happen for everybody, or almost everybody. Yeah, that's right. Pray for me. Pray for me. I need prayer. Acts 14 and 22. Bible said they're trying to strengthen the disciples and encourage them to remain true to the faith. Here's how they encourage them. We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God, they said. In other words, to get from point A to point heaven, to get from where you are to eternity with Jesus, there are going to be many challenges. There are going to be difficulties. There are going to be circumstances and issues. We must go through many hardships. I know some of you feel like your hardships are way out of proportion to what you know about other people's lives. And some people fall out over this and they get their eyes off of what really matters and they lose their faith. But I want you to be encouraged that if you're going through hardship right now, if you're going through challenge right now, if you're feeling the pressing in your life and the pressure in your life, it's just a part of the process to get you into the kingdom of God. I love 2 Peter 3, verses 8 and 9. But beloved, do not forget this one thing. Don't forget that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is just a day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. You ought to underline that in your Bible or make note of that so you can read it later this week. Maybe you ought to print that out on your computer and tape it somewhere visible for you to see every day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. Thank you, Lord. I hear you telling me to slow down a moment. There's somebody in this room that's been fretting about a promise that God has made, and the Lord sent this verse today to tell you that he has not forgotten, and he is not slack, and it is not done, but that if God promised it, it will come to pass. You may be in the testing part of the testimony. You may be in the struggling part of the breakthrough, but if God promised it, it will happen. I know a day to the Lord is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day, but what if you just held on for a little while longer? Amen. He's long-suffering toward us. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. What is he saying? He's saying that we need to get our eyes off of our time and get it onto God's time. It seems to be the hardest thing for us to come to terms with, that God has a different clock than we do. Our clock is impatience. Our clock is immediacy. Our clock is right. Lord, I'm giving you about 2 seconds to work this out in my life. Well, number one, who are we to even demand anything from the Lord? We've been living any kind of way we wanted for all years and years and years, and then we're going to get to church and give God one Sunday to work it all out. Sit your tail down and just let God work. Let God move. Let the rose unfold. If you meet the bud that's all closed up, you unfold. I need beauty today. I need fragrance today. I need perfection. No, it's going to open when it opens. My job is to water. My job is to talk. You're a beautiful rose. You're going to be amazing. And guess what? In time, all of a sudden that rose unfolds, and then we have the beauty, and then we have the fragrance, and then we have something to look at that we can just be awed by. That is our life. That is our testimony. But we got to give the Lord time to work. Got to give him time to work. I'm closing. I told you I'd be quick today, but I'm going to close with some real practical steps, some real practical steps, because every testimony starts with a test. How do I pass the test? How do we pass the test? I first of all got to pass the test of worship. Got to pass the test of worship. Can I worship no matter what? We used to sing, through it all, don't change keys. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. Learn to trust in God. Can I worship no matter what? 1 Thessalonians 5, 16, 17, and 18, rejoice always. You mean even now, right? Write this, right? Rejoice now with what I've got going on in my life. Worship always. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You've got to pass the test of worship. Secondly, you got to pass the test of faithfulness. Pass the test of faithfulness. Can I trust God to keep me in all areas of my life? Partial trust is not true trust. I can't say, well, Lord, out of the five areas of my life, I trust you in three of them, but these other two over here, I can't quite give up control there. So the Lord says, okay, I'll just stand outside. I'll keep knocking on your door. I want to come in so that I can have full reign in your life. And when you're ready to give me full reign, Lord, I trust you for healing. I want you to heal this disease, but I can't trust you with my finance. The Lord said, let me have it all. Let me do the work in your life. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. We do so good trusting the Lord. I'm ready to trust, but I kind of like leaning on my own understanding. He said, in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Because Romans 8, 28, we know all things work for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Not missing my moment. Not missing my moment. I want a testimony. Anybody want to pray this prayer? You might have a test. You might have a challenge. You might have a difficulty. You might have a circumstance, but you also will have a testimony. You also will have a story to tell of how you made it over. Father, I pray today. I pray today for people in this house, people in this room. The truth is, Lord, we are undone without you. Where would we be if it had not been for you on our side? We need you, Lord. Forgive us for every day of impatience we have lived. Every day of frustrated faith we have lived. What if we just rest in you? What if we just put our faith in you? What if, Lord, we spend the next week, the next 7 days only speaking positive things, thanking you, when it would be easy to complain, when it would be easy to fuss, when it would be easy to get out of sorts. What if, Lord, we chose to speak life? We want a testimony. We want a story, Lord, of how big and how powerful and how awesome you are. How incredible, how great, how real. Jesus, I want a testimony. Why don't you stand with me across the room today?